Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos. I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today in the studio is Pat.
Hello, hello.
And Steve.
Hello, hello.
We are excited to be with you today. What a wonderful day on the Emerald Coast. Sunshine and blue skies. We have a fantastic program ready for you today. We've got some humor moments for you that you do not want to miss. We're going to be talking about today an athlete with integrity. You've got to hear this. Athlete with integrity. We're also going to be talking about anti-Semitism, the evil of anti-Semitism. We're going to be talking about with you today, there is a shortage, believe it or not, of toilet paper in Venezuela, and we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Oh, no.
We need to figure this out.
That's not good.
That's a little humor moment, but we have so much to share with you. We're also going to be sharing on a serious note about the fear of the Lord. Listen up, stay close, and be encouraged. Well, we want to give a shout out to everyone who's listening to us today on VFN Radio all over the world. We appreciate all the likes on Facebook. I mean, from everywhere, literally all parts of the world, we're standing together for the light. L-I-G-H-T. The light of the world. It's so exciting to be all here together. And it's great to have everyone in the studio. Very, very good. Very good. Very exciting. Pat.
Yeah.
And Steve.
What's happening?
How you doing, man?
What's happening? You know, guys. Not too long ago on VFN Radio, I was sharing about this handy-dandy steamer that I thought...
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That I thought was
priceless. Priceless moments.
Yeah. I mean...
Priceless.
Value-added purchase for our family. Okay. Now, I this is on VFN Radio. You can find it on the torch by going to VFNTV.com if you want to be encouraged by that segment. However, I got this, handy-dandy steamer.
Right.
Because, it's functional, nice. I mean, the guy gave me the professional version as opposed to the, domestic, everyday, household. He gave me the professional. Right, correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, if you heard that segment, I brought it home in my... My family didn't seem to be too impressed.
They weren't excited as you
no,
were.
No, not excited at all.
Have they warmed up to it since then?
Well, Steve, I brought down the shirts. I brought down the pants. I even wrinkled them up on purpose just to show the functionality of this handy-dandy steamer. And they laughed at me. Believe it or not, okay. But I will have you to know that as of yesterday, my wife had a chance to... use the handy-dandy steamer.
Are they ironing on their own?
Well, the boys, we haven't got there quite yet. We haven't got them at, I told them we steamer, kind of the same thing, just doesn't quite fit yet, doesn't it? But my wife tried it yesterday, and Chris, and you're with us here today.
Mm-hmm.
She likes it.
She does.
She likes it.
Wow.
She likes it.
Uh-oh.
I didn't gloat. I didn't say, this was a great purchase for the family. But she said, I will admit it. This is pretty good. I said, hey, I told you. I told
you.
No listen,
way.
Handy dandy. Listen, Pat, you need to get one.
You
need to get one. All of those Saints shirts could use some
stretches.
Some wrinkle release and some help there. But we can hook you up with that.
Appreciate that.
that's not a problem at all. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but there's a baseball player. I'm trying to get his name right. It's Jeremy... Affelt.
Okay,
Jeremy Affelt. Okay. Hope I got that right. He's a pitcher for the San Francisco Giants.
Mm-hmm.
We know how great that sport is, Steve. The baseball and, America's favorite pastime, as they say. And people are enjoying that. Well, this pitcher, who just wrote a book, by the way, it's called, it's called To Stir a Movement, Life, Justice, and Major League Baseball.
Wow.
Back in, he writes in his book that back in 2010, he was able to get an awesome contract with the San Francisco Giants. And his contract was for $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
He realized in his paycheck that they paid him $4.5 million.
Really?
They paid him $500,000 above his contract. Well, he instantly recognized that that was a mistake. And so he returned all $500,000 back to them.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Returned it all now. Now, the manager, Bobby Evans at the time, is saying, hey, you know, it was well within the contract. They put that in there, you know, and if they've passed the limit of time where that should be, you know, retracted, it's yours. You know, that's a bonus. It's yours, you know. And this was Jeremy's response because he's a believer.
Uh-huh.
He says, I won't sleep well at night knowing I took that money because every time I open my paycheck, I'll know it's not right.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
How awesome is that?
That is cool.
How awesome is that?
Integrity.
I mean, integrity.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a bonus because the person rings up something at Walmart and doesn't ring that
right,
up.
Right, no. Makes a mistake.
Yeah, it makes a mistake. That's not a bonus. That's not a blessing from God either, okay? Yeah. Let's just talk about that right now. It's not a blessing from God. It's just not yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's not yours. Somebody paid for that. Somebody cost her that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that that integrity where he says, listen, I won't even sleep while that right, knowing that I profited off of someone's simple mistake.
Right.
Which $500,000. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money. And so it's really great to see that. And I was like, wow, cool deal, man. And what an example he's setting for himself and for others. You know, if you're tempted like that, ever, you just remember, say, listen, you know, you want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do the right thing. And check this out. Sometime later, he had re-signed his contract. So he re-signed his contract.
Yeah.
Remember, his first contract was $4 million.
Right.
Well, the Lord knows how to bless integrity, doing the right thing. He signed a new contract for $18 million for 3 years.
Wow. Oh, wow. 18, that's a nice raise.
That's a fourfold raise. And he believes, he attributes that to his earlier decision.
Interior.
Listen, you offer for your boss and you say, listen, you mistakenly paid me and I don't want you to give me anything more than what's owed to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's a keeper.
Right.
You know what I mean? That
you want to keep him around.
That catches attention because how many people do that? How many people bring attention to that?
Yeah. Well, that's my bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in that type of business. I mean, you can blow yourself out and get an injury and you're done. It's finished.
Right. Yeah.
You're not going to get another dollar. Nowhere. Most of these negotiations are pretty tough negotiations.
Yeah.
You know, and you have agents fees and all that. A lot of times these players, they don't even get the whole full of their contract because they got to pay an agent maybe 30%, maybe more.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot because if you're thinking about everything that kind of goes into just like you're saying, all everything behind the scenes of what you don't see of just, okay, the gross might be 18, but you look at sponsors or all this other things, it's just, to me, it's just how many people are just paying attention to his character.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's so much more than his salary. It's just we've talked about many times before, so many professional athletes, God has raised them to that position of influence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about the income. It's about how are you affecting the world? How are you affecting those little leaguers playing? They're looking at your character. They're not looking at just your paycheck.
Or your stats.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest stat shouldn't be how many points you scored or, you know, how many runs batted in or home runs or any of those things. I mean, your biggest stat is what the world sees in your character.
You're a role model.
Exactly. Whether we like it or not, we're all role models, though. Not just baseball players.
Right.
You know, oftentimes, you're the only Christ that someone's going to see.
Mm-hmm.
So it does matter how we do things. You know, we don't live on an island, and our decisions are not independent. You know, all of our decisions affect somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
That thought alone should help us to do the right thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your decisions definitely affect the lives of others, and it's when you become when you get that realization, there's that maturing point. You're like, wow, my life affects others.
Exactly.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Well, I want to encourage you to get the book. We're going to have it on the torch, It's entitled To Stir a Movement, Life, Justice, and Major League Baseball. Pretty awesome.
That's good stuff.
Very cool.
Now, you know, in God's News Behind the News, guys, you know, yesterday. Yes, if you missed yesterday's program, let me tell you, you got to tune in to VFN Radio. We're talking about so many encouraging things, but yesterday on our program, and I saw my page disappear, we were talking about the four blood moons. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the four blood moons. And it's so exciting because it's a sign. You mm-hmm. know, the heavens
right.
are God's billboard. And God is displaying wonders in the skies for us to pay attention. And oftentimes where God speaks prophetically in regards to the moon, it has to do with Israel. When mm-hmm. things happening with the sun typically is a message to the world.
Right.
And Benjamin Netanyahu did a video speech recently. There's been a conference, an international, actually it's the fourth international conference of the Global Forum for Combating Anti-Semitism.
Wow.
And they convened in Jerusalem. And it's really important. I mean, you know, Netanyahu said, this is the prime minister, he says that anti-Israel rhetoric is nothing more than anti-Semitism, repackaged against the Jewish state.
Mm-hmm.
This is important because, listen, anti-Semitism is the belief or behavior that's hostile mm-hmm. toward the Jews
right.
simply because they're Jewish. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a prejudice.
God's people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to start messing around and being hostile
mm-hmm.
to who God calls God,
okay,
the apple of his eye.
Mm-hmm.
If you poke his eye, you bet to be careful. It's not a good thing. So this is an important conference, and I want you to hear specifically some of the things that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu states in his address. I think that he talks about three important myths that are being shared around the world. And, you know, you dispel a lie. You don't argue against a lie. You don't exasperate the lie. You come against a lie with the truth.
Absolutely.
The truth always deals with the lie. And so he dispels some of these, and he talks about the truth, and he talks about what's really, really happening. And I think this is going to give you some insight and some background because, you know, we know in part, and the more we know, the better equipped we're going to be to stand with Israel. I want you to listen up.
I commend all the delegates attending the fourth Global Forum for Combating Antisemitism. There were two myths about antisemitism. The first was that after the Holocaust, anti-Semitism would disappear. And the second was that with the creation of the Jewish state, anti-Semitism would disappear. That didn't happen. Neither one of them. In fact, the anti-Semites took a respite after the Holocaust. But that's all it was. It was a brief intermission. And what was unfashionable is now becoming fashionable again. And after the rise of Israel, what is fashionable today is to say, well, I don't hate Jews, I just don't think they should have a state. Or, effectively, that their state is an illegitimate one that doesn't have the right to exist. To further this attack on the Jewish state, three arguments are put forward by the anti-Semites all the time. And they're false all the time. The first is that Israel is guilty of war crimes. We who fight war criminals with measured means, whose cities are attacked by terrorists firing rockets from built-up areas and try to pinpoint the rocketeers, we're accused of war crimes by the war criminals. That's one facet of the vilification that we experience. The second is that we're expansionists. We don't want peace. We never agree to compromise. That's patently false. The State of Israel repeatedly has offered concessions and has made concessions for peace that no other people and no other state has made in history. I don't know of any other case in which the victor made concessions in order to achieve peace, but we've done it again and again, and we're prepared to compromise for peace, for genuine peace. This is our most fervent hope, to live in peace with our neighbors. It is not reciprocated as much as we want, and recently it is not reciprocated at all, and we can only hope that it would change. The third argument is that we are violators of human rights. Did you hear that? Israel, the one country in a vast expanse that recognizes the rights of everyone, of women, minorities, every individual that has access to the best court system in the world. Israel that has a free press and a vibrant democracy. Israel is accused of violating human rights. This is when, in our neighborhood, hundreds of people are killed daily, massacred daily in neighboring regimes. These three vilifications, that Israel is guilty of war crimes, that it doesn't want peace and wants to continue expansionist policies, and that we are guilty of violating human rights, are part and parcel of the anti-Semitic campaign that is leveled against the Jewish people and their state. That's by way of saying you have a lot of tasks before you, and I hope that you're up to it. I'm sure that you believe there's only one remedy for the slander, and that's the truth. And I encourage you to fight and win the battle for truth. Thank you.
That's so important. And I really appreciate what he had to say there. And this is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking at the actually, it's a videotape message for the conference of the Global Forum for Combating Anti-Semitism that were convening in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And it was over 500 delegates from 50 nations around the world. Wow. And, you know, listen, anti-Semitism did not go away with the Holocaust.
Right, right.
They were still around. And we talked, yesterday in the highlight, the Four Blood Moons, and the whole title is The Heavens Are God's Billboard, Four Blood Moons Coming, and What Does It Mean for Israel? You definitely want to hear that and share that with your friends. It's absolutely compelling. But we learned that in 1492, King Ferdinand actually expelled the Jews, expelled them from Spain because they would not convert to Catholicism in the name of God. Such evil was done. It was had nothing to do with God, obviously. Mm-hmm. But this has been going on and been happening to the Jews since 1492. Mm-hmm. It's a continual harassment and prejudice and hostile behavior to the point of death. And you have the Holocaust of 6 million Jews that were killed, murdered, in gas chambers or burned in a furnace. I mean, it's horrific. And so you hear the prime minister talk about three, basically, lies that the anti-Semites want to continue to push out. And it was actually Adolf Hitler said that if you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, others will believe it.
Right.
And so they want to push these three lies. One is that you heard the prime minister speak that Israel is guilty of war crimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, really? Israel? Really?
Right.
I mean, is that not embarrassing? And that's ridiculous. This is what we're seeing. We're seeing good being called evil and evil being called good.
And that's what's hard about it, too, because even in my own experiences, too, you have people that come out and say Israel's the bad person, Israel's the bad person, just like you're saying. All that they've heard is the lie.
Yeah.
They've never heard the truth, so they just heard it over and over. Exactly. Yeah. And they just hear that one perspective of Israel.
Exactly.
Never taking into consideration how Israel has been treated, and it's just how Israel is responding to those who wish negative things upon them. And just like what the prime minister was saying, it's just like we have negotiated peace. We've wanted peace. And people have never seen that side of Israel, nor have wanted to take those steps to know the truth.
Yeah. And it's important. That's why we're here at VFN Radio, to share the light, to share the truth, and to give some, God perspective on what's happening with the nation of Israel, as the best as the Lord reveals it to us. And the second thing, or lie rather, that's being shared is that they are expansionists. They don't want peace. It's like expansionists, Israel has given up more territory when they've become victors, and even suggesting to go back to 1967 borderlines prior to before the Yom Kippur War.
Right.
It's just absolutely ludicrous, and that's what this administration, this president suggested, and it's like, it's indefensible. Mm-hmm. And expansionists, they're not trying to conquer the world.
They're just trying to survive.
They're just trying to survive. They're trying to keep what's theirs.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a huge, huge lie, but if you keep putting that out, and I love what he said, the prime minister says, listen, still today, we are willing to make certain concessions still today, but only, and I agree with him, only for genuine and true peace. Only. mean, they're completely surrounded by their enemies. And the third one is just ridiculous. Violators of human rights. This is Israel.
Right.
I mean, I've been to Israel. It's one of the most, believe it or not, safest places. Mm-hmm. I was in Tel Aviv at midnight. I walk on the balcony of the hotel I was staying at, and I see little children, 12, you know, midnight, 12:30, like that, early, you know, late night, early morning, mm-hmm. and they're playing with their little cars, little bikes and stuff like that out in the front. This is midnight, and just people are talking and just, you know, like nothing.
Right.
And it's like, this is a free democracy. They have an excellent court system. Mm-hmm. You know, freedom of press. Violators of human rights, really? Mm-hmm. You know, and what we want to do as believers, we want to stand for the truth. We want to make sure that we shine light into the darkness and shine light out of the darkness, and that we continue to stand for Israel and fight against any sort of lies that like these right here that are continuing to share. I'll never forget that as a young child, I lived in upstate New York, and we lived near a Hasidic community, a Jewish Hasidic community. Mm-hmm. And I remember that you know, some of the kids in our school would just make fun of them and just certain things like that. It's really cruel. You know, children can be so cruel.
Yeah.
And I remember telling my parents, my mom about that, and I'll never forget. I'll never forget because my mom made it so clear. You know, 'cause you want to teach your children, you know, in the way that they should go. And you know, my mom just busted open the Bible and she started, you know, sharing with us and saying, listen, these are God's people. Mm-hmm. You know, don't ever, you know, join in with any of that stuff. And we should never. And it's always stayed with me the rest of my life. And as I learned, you know, mm-hmm. as a child, and my parents mm-hmm. teaching me to love the Jewish people. And I love them as I became a believer and found the rich heritage of mm-hmm. what we enjoy as our Bible today. Mm-hmm. We want to pass that to our future generations and to our children, and continue to share with Absolutely. Them as they're coming up, right. teach them the ways of the Lord, and also to teach them to honor God's people, to stand for truth, stand for what's right. Mm-hmm. This should not be allowed. We combat anti-Semitism with the truth.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
What are the religious rights of students in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter is in the fifth grade. They have an open house, and I asked her to let her teacher know that we were not going to be able to make it because we need to go to church. Her teacher responded back that church is not an excuse not to be there, that if she misses, that she's going to have to make up by doing an oral in front of other classrooms.
Well, first of all, they have to accommodate your daughter's sincerely held religious beliefs and your family's, number one. Number two, this was not an activity during the school day. It sounds like it was an after-school event, an open house. That's not mandatory. That's not under the compelled attendance law of the states for public education. And again, I want to emphasize that you have if you had a church obligation, that you had the right to go there, and your daughter can't be penalized for it. So I'm going to get you in touch with our legal department here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, mm-hmm. worse than man's religion, you know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right mm-hmm. in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened mm-hmm. to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk mm-hmm. to you.
Right.
You know, and people want this, mm-hmm. but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this,
right,
you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something,
mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, mm-hmm, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can write your own devotional. Listen,
right,
just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Joining with me today is Pat and Steve. You know, we were talking about the integrity of the baseball player Jeremy, and just before we took the break, and how mm-hmm. awesome that is. Let me tell you something: integrity counts. Doing the right thing. God rewarded him
mm-hmm.
with a fourfold raise with an $18 million contract. Man, that preaches volumes right there.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Like, just do the right thing, yeah, man. God is watching all the time anyway.
That's right.
So he's always present, omnipresent God, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that this week on VFN Radio, how God's just everywhere.
Even when no one else is around.
Here,
yeah,
there, and everywhere,
His
all
eyes
at the same
are always on you.
Time. That's yes,
it.
He is.
That's when you stand out the most, when no one else is there, and you continue to do the right thing.
That's right. We also talked about anti-Semitism mm-hmm. and the global conference that gathered in Jerusalem, 500 yeah. delegates, 50 nations, and we heard about the three lies that are being told. They're exposed. They're exposed, and we can stand for the truth and stand for Israel and support Israel. And we want to encourage you to get with organizations that stand with Israel. You know, Kufi Christians United for Israel is one organization, mm-hmm. and you can see on the torch will be a related link for you where you can even give and partner with Kufi as they continue to go forth. You know, guys, that there's some in this country, the United States, and we're talking about God's news behind the news here, but some in this country would love to see this country, the United States mm-hmm. of America, become a socialist country. Believe it or not, I know that may sound strange. Right. Not.
Yeah.
They would love it. They're embracing socialist ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to just to look a little bit over the horizon and see what's happening in Venezuela, who is a socialist country.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Hugo Chavez has passed away, his mm-hmm. predecessor won some sort of an election.
Mm-hmm.
Some are contesting that. New president is Nicolas Maduro. And right now in Venezuela, right now, the president blames toilet paper shortage on the rich. This is not a joke. This is really happening. This is really happening. He says, this is the president said, that the shortages in luxury items are the result of a shadowy conspiracy concocted by his wealthy and conservative opponents. Toilet paper.
Wow.
Okay.
A luxury item.
Mm.
A luxury item.
Luxury.
Luxury item.
As opposed to?
I don't know.
Banana leaves?
We can take so many things for granted
mm-hmm.
in this country. I mean, we take for granted that we have running water, that we have a plumbing system that actually
mm-hmm.
works.
Mm-hmm.
It's sanitized.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We right. take all the blessings of that we have in this nation. And let me tell you something. We have an amazing country. We have an amazing document in the Constitution.
Right.
I mean, when you think about the Founding Fathers, and we've talked about it quite a bit here on VFN Radio, we encourage you to go on the torch and type in Constitution, type in America, and you will be so encouraged by these segments. And what we want to do is stand for truth, stand for freedom, stand for the rights that God has given us. Government just recognizes the rights that they're there to. The Constitution is to enforce the God-given rights.
The God's already given us,
The Congress is not giving us rights. They're just defending and enforcing that those rights are protected.
Yeah.
And we live in a blessed land. But you look over the water. This is a nation, by the way. This is a nation that produces so much oil. And this is a nation that owns
Citgo.
Okay.
Wow.
I think they're like the fourth largest producer of oil in the world. And yet, they have a shortage of toilet paper. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a very good system here in America, in these United States. It would do us well. It would do us well to recognize that. Oftentimes, sad to say, that it's only when people lose things that they appreciate what they had. Why go through that? Why should we have to lose this great country? Why should we lose this awesome document? Because we fail to appreciate it. And you know, right now we've been sharing the Constitution, and we've grown in a greater appreciation. I know I have in the last year of the Constitution. And we're learning and growing and studying these documents. I mean, the Declaration of Independence, 27 reasons why we left England and King George.
Right.
I mean, it's huge. Yeah. It's huge.
I think about the importance of that, just like what you're saying, as far as being able to recognize what we have. You know, a lot of people have talked about that conversation. They go camping, they're out in the wilderness for a couple of days, and they realize the importance of running water, a shower. And it's so significant you bring this up. I was in a bathroom a couple of days ago, and I noticed that a toilet has, for every flush in America, I don't know how efficient it is, but it's almost 2 gallons. And when I was overseas, there's some nations that don't have running water.
No.
They have to walk miles upon miles just to get a gallon or 2 gallons for their family to be able to cook. And it's just like the blessings that we have in this nation are not by accident. It's because they were built upon. It's like we were talking about on yesterday's program, a Christian named Christopher Columbus that found this nation, and God gave us this. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't want to lose this.
Yeah.
But God loves us enough to take it away for us to turn back to him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was the Jews during the time that they were being expelled out of Spain that actually...
Yeah, I never knew that. That's powerful.
Is that amazing? Yeah. They gave money to Christopher Columbus to find them a place.
A new land.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Isn't it amazing?
Mm-hmm.
A new land where they can worship God. And remember that we also learned this year that the Puritans...
Yeah.
The Puritans came to America to what? Worship God. It's like God had a plan here. You know, he was stirring the hearts of people, and you just see what's happening for America. We need to pray for America. You know, we keep talking about yesterday's program. It just keeps coming up, but it was awesome prophetic word that there's hope for America. Stay the course. It's a prophetic word that was shared by Dutch Sheets. Mm-hmm. And listen, we just need to stay the course. We need to stay focused on the Lord. We need to continue to abide. We need to continue to share the truth. And we need to stand for what is right and be encouraged that we're holding ground. You know, you're holding a place of truth. So many times people get discouraged because they think that, you know, am I being effective? Am I really doing something? And they don't realize that you are a link in the chain. You are a brick in the wall. You are a gate. And if you stop holding your position, if you stay focused on yourself and you stop holding your position, guess what that means? It means that the enemy can put a foothold, can put a toe in that spot that you were holding.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Everybody's significant. Sure, some can do more than others. Some have more talents than others. But what you have, you got to work it. Work what you got.
Nobody else can do your part.
That's right.
You know, you've got a responsibility that no one else can carry out but you alone.
That's right, because everybody has a role to play.
That's right.
Everybody has a role to play, and the biggest thing that the enemy can do, and we can be our worst enemy, is to be self-focused, self-criticize, and say, well, I'm not doing much. I'm, you know, what can I do? I am just, listen, you can do a lot. You can do a lot. First of all, being on the right side is important.
Definitely.
Amen.
And then learn, grow. You know, learn about the Constitution as we're, listen, we took the citizenship. We if you missed that, that was an awesome experiment. It was
definitely eye-opening experience.
Eye-opening experience, but we took the game, we made it into a game where we answered five questions at a time, and Pat and I were answering the question, and Greg was...
We attempted to answer the question.
Thank you for the correction. Absolutely. We attempted to answer the questions. Thank you.
We learned a lot through that, though.
Yeah, we did. Greg moderated. We had the music and the whole thing going on there, you know, as we answered questions. But we learned what everyday people have to learn when they want to become a citizen of this great country. They have to pass a test. Mm-hmm. And how many of us have taken those truths for granted, that knowledge for granted, just because we were born in America?
That's right.
And I've had the luxury to live in a different place where I've seen people come from all over the world, and I've seen firsthand, I've heard firsthand the sacrifices that people have made just to come.
Just to get here.
To America. Yeah. I remember meeting a Vietnamese man who, when he shared his story with me, I mean, you know when you meet someone and all time like freezes and you realize, okay, whatever I was about to talk about, I'm not going to say anything at all, and I just need to listen right here. You know, like, this is important. And I had that encounter with this man. He shared with me how he came over from Vietnam, I believe in the 80s, and this conversation probably took place, you know, early 2000, somewhere around there. And he said, we came here to the United States. Actually, Christians brought his family over.
Oh, wow.
Some sort of agency, a Christian agency, they brought them over, and some of his family stayed, some of them went. Yeah. He said, I came to the United States with just the clothes on my back, literally. We didn't have anything to bring. We just, you know, he said he boarded the boat, as I remember, with slippers or sandals type things. That's it. T-shirt, whatever. They came here. They learned English. I believe they came where they were out in Mobile, I think. They came out in Mobile, Alabama.
Wow.
And they learned, and this Christian organization, I don't remember the name, so many years ago, was helping on them, you know, helping them, loving them, teaching them, teaching them skill sets. Well, this man who spoke very limited English, he begins to tell me of all the different jobs that he had. I couldn't believe it. He said, when I came to this certain area of town, he says, the only thing I knew how to do was be a dishwasher. So I got in there, started washing dishes. And I became so good, I mastered that, and they put me to cook. So he said, I started cooking in the Chinese restaurant. And he said, I mastered it. I learned it. This is all I had. I learned it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I became so good. And he wasn't bragging. He was just kind of, because I was just, you know, tell me more, tell me more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, I became so good that I've worked for every single restaurant in this, Chinese restaurant in this town.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was being recruited out of each restaurant by the next.
Oh, wow.
I go, oh my goodness. You can say, yeah. And I just learned and I just applied myself. And this is a great, he's telling me, this is a great country. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. You know, I'm feeling more and more and more convicted of this guy. I'm like, okay, okay. So then he tells me, listen to this. Then he tells me, and then I had the idea that I needed to go offshore.
Right.
To be a pipe fitter. He says, I didn't speak good English. And he said, it took me forever to try to convince these guys to hire me.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to hire me because I could be a liability. Mm-hmm. If they had to tell me, get out, move, duck, whatever, I could get hurt and not, you know, I wouldn't know the command, what they were telling me. So he said, I just kept on persistently telling them, give me a shot, give me a shot. He says, I became the best pipe fitter.
Wow.
Offshore.
Wow.
Then he tells me. And then my wife, she wanted to open a business doing nail salon. We didn't know nothing about nail salon.
Yeah.
We're just happy to be in America.
Yeah, right.
We're just happy to be here. So she learned. And he says, now my wife has a nail salon business, and I think they employ like 10 people.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting in his beautiful, I mean, huge home according to America's standards. I can only imagine to the world standards. It's a very big home.
Yeah.
And I just stood in awe that day, and I realized, wow. And I've personally met so many people like this who've come from other countries just for the chance, just for the chance to come to this great nation and to prosper under the freedoms that we've all been given here. And to see that story and to see that it was in connection with the love of God that brought them over. It was the Constitution. They wanted to become citizens. And to see that whole process unfold, someone who barely spoke the language, who had zero to their name and overcame all of those obstacles, just applied themselves within a context of freedom.
Right.
It's amazing.
Right.
That is powerful.
It's amazing. Listen, we live in a blessed nation where anybody who comes to this nation can be successful, can get a good education, can teach their family. You know what? And can be happy. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget the blessing of America and what God's given us through a constitutional document. God blessed us with these founding fathers that had the wisdom to write it all down.
That's right. Thank God.
Let's stand for truth, and let's pray that we can keep America, not for just America's sake, so that America can stand with Israel and America can continue to send all the missionaries that come out of America all over the world.
Amen.
Let's stand.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
We're going to be releasing this week on VFN TV, This Generation. Go to VFN TV. Go to vfntv.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to vfntv.com. And go to VFN TV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us. Mm-hmm. He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you, but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. If slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
Wow. I mean, you're probably listening to VFN Radio and you want to be part of the end time harvest. Well, I want to encourage you. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. VFNU.org. This is a great opportunity for you to be raised up and to get anointed teaching. Listen, this is a wonderful time to be equipped. This is fresh revelation for where the church is going. Don't sit around and wonder, how can I be a part? Listen, this is for you. This is now. Get ready. Vine Fellowship Network University, vfnu.org. Come on and be a part of the end time harvest.
Oh, my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I have.
Oh, man. Such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on facebook.com and if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on facebook.com/VFNTV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFNTV.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Joining with me today is Pat and Steve. We're talking about the blessing of America. Listen, a hope and a dream and the Constitution can help you go a long, long, long way.
Oh, yeah.
We just shared a great story about Vietnamese friends that I had met, and they shared with me their story, and I was blown away, convicted for the blessings that I had taken for granted for so many years, and realizing, you know what? This is a blessed nation. Mm-hmm. This is a blessed nation.
Powerful.
You know, we're going to listen to a testimony from Zamzam. And this was a Christian, a Muslim woman who had an encounter with Jesus Christ. It's the interview is a little bit lengthy, but let me tell you, it is absolutely powerful when you hear from her own words her journey on how she met Jesus Christ. It's powerful. Listen up.
I was born in a family where Islam was a beautiful thing. And I was taught in a true light of Islam. To me, Allah was like my master. And I am a subject. And I would do things to please Allah all the time. And that made me happy. And I mean, it's hard for a girl of like 12 years of age to fast, you know? And I would do that without any complaints, and I would be the happiest person doing that. So Allah was my focus, you know, like my master. It's a supreme power, you know. I was told that we don't need any mediators, we just have to ask Allah and He listens to us. So I had full faith, and I was confident that my prayers are heard, and there is somebody who's called Allah above, and He answers them. I couldn't compare any other religion to Islam. It was so good to me. So I had no way of getting into anything else. But I think God has His own plans. When I got married, my husband was from a Christian background. His mom was a Christian. And I was very depressed to know that a person who is a Muslim has been converted to Christianity, and that was a great burden on my heart. That gave me a goal that I should do something. I should get into this family and bring them back to Islam. My mother-in-law, she passed away after her death. Pastor came from where my mother-in-law used to worship. And they came to visit us. Then they were so sweet. And then, you know, I said, okay, I had questions now. I wanted to ask about Bible, why it's like this and things like that. I wanted to know their views. So they said, okay, Zamzam, why don't we start a Bible study so that you can have all your questions and we can answer all your questions. I said, that's fine, you know, it's fair enough. And I thought I was very intelligent. Because the background I had, I thought I'm a very intelligent person, and Christians know nothing, you know. They are confused people, I thought. But I went, and when it went on for a year, the Bible study, and after that, they said, now what do you say, Samson? I said, oh, now, before I came to you guys thinking there is some hope, you know, but after knowing your religion, I have no interest. So I said, okay, we'll be praying for you. And that made me more angry than anything else. I said, why do these guys say that we are praying for you? Am I such a big sinner that everybody is praying for me? So when I came back home, I complained to my husband. And then I said, okay, I'm not going to go for Bible study, but I would like to do a comparative study of Islam and Quran. I mean, Bible and Quran.
So he said, okay, it's okay if you want to do it. So we started doing, sincerely, we would compare the both the books and start jotting down a few points. Naturally, all good points came from Quran and nothing came out of Bible. But one night, like after 10 days, we were doing it, and one night I sat, did the comparative study, and I told my husband, I said, there's one good thing that I have found. The Bible talks about love, love of God, love of God. Where else we don't find it in Quran? Of course, it directs you towards the love, but like it doesn't say directly, God is love, God is forgiving, God is like, you know, you do anything, but in the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. It doesn't say that. Even if you are a good, pious Muslim, you offer namaz, you do everything, and you die, still you don't have that assurance that you have salvation. Your sins are forgiven and you are going to heaven. There is no such thing promised to a Muslim. I said, this one good thing is that God is love. So I jotted that point down. And then that night I said, you know, now I always appreciated when Christians prayed. You know, this prayer spontaneously, and we Muslims don't do that. We pray in our hearts quietly, especially women. So I said, okay, let me pray tonight the way Christians do. So I knelt down. I wanted to do the way they do it. I knelt down and I started praying. And that night, as I was trying to pray, I felt as if there was a lock on my mouth and it has been unlocked. And I was referring to all those Bible verses which I had never thought that I would remember. And like the words were flowing from my mouth, you know, like more than 50, 60 Bible verses I was reciting. I think I knelt down at 9:30 in the night, and by the time I finished, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. So I was not tired, my knees didn't hurt, and I was like fresh. And that night I said, Jesus, if you are true, reveal yourself to me. Always I said, Allah, if Jesus is true, show it to me. I want from you directly, I don't want to take it from Christians. So that was the night, like, you know, I was not on guard. God was watching me. He said, it's enough, Samson. You have been trying too hard to protect yourself. Now let go. So I just said, Jesus, you are true. Reveal yourself to me. And the moment I said that, like my tongue was unlocked and I was free in spirit. And when I got up after the prayer, after so many hours, I got up and I was still fresh, and I felt a joy in my heart, and I just wanted to tell the whole world that I'm a Christian and I'm happy. And I wanted to call the pastor, I wanted to call those missionaries that I've been friendly with. And my husband said, you're mad, you're crazy, you can't call them at this hour of the night, do it in the morning. Anyway, I was happy, you know, the joy was bubbling out, it was oozing out of my system. And I got up in the morning, my husband left the house like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was not going to be like, you know, sleep or anything. I went and took the Bible, and when I read and read and read, and I suddenly felt that the whole room was lit up with a glow, a light that was not a light that we can describe in words. And it was amazing. I was like taking a shower bath in that glow, and I don't know how long I stayed. And to my surprise, my children were very small that time. None of them came near to me. None of them asked for a glass of water. Telephone didn't ring. Not even the postman rang the bell. Not the milkman came to our door. It was like I was totally cut off from the world, and I was having a fellowship with my Lord. And that's how I experienced the power of and the love of Jesus Christ.
That's powerful. You're listening to Zamzam's testimony and how she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're coming to the end of the first hour, and in the extra hour, we're going to pick up more about what she encountered, the man, Jesus Christ, and how just the love of God made a way for her. The love of God is so powerful.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. Is there something? We prayed for a long time. You know, we prayed for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore, because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did that. Sure. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally
it's
put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about mm-hmm. it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And I'm like, no, dude. You know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You abide, you hang out with him not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why. Because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity and our response. We need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better, and we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, that you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God.
But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you. A simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.